Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Super happy. I'm already having a really good week. Spent an hour with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. You're already having a good week. And now we've got Christine Flynn with a magnificent topic for this hour. And I'm nervous about it because I don't know how we're going to hold up the rest of the week. How do you you make a promise on Monday? This is the quality. And then how do you hold that up, Darren, the rest of the week? You better come to Darren's like, I don't care. It's your job. You're on the microphone. Christine Flynn, she does a podcast called The Catholic Mama. She's organizing and presenting at Caritas, Equipping Women for the War on Femininity, an upcoming conference. We'll talk more about both of those things. But today we're going to talk about that little phrase that you hear, living your best life. Is that compatible with the Christian message? Christine Flynn, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So what's wrong with living your best life? Why are you trying to get me to not live my best life, Christine Flynn?
I'm sorry to break it to you. No, there's a few things wrong with living your best life. And so many times you hear it, and it could just be something silly. I think there's like over 3 million posts on Instagram alone using that hashtag. And it's usually like vacations and really nice looking smoothies that are on there.
Vacations and smoothies. Yeah, that's right. Those are my
that's
two.
That's the best life.
Right, yeah.
So that's it, right? That's up there. There's a few problems with this. So when you start using it as a life philosophy, and one of those is that it, when you look into it, it's pretty morally relativistic, right? It's saying that there is a certain way of living that I can live that makes my life better. And well, if it isn't compatible with what you might think of as happiness or what might be best for you, well, that's not my problem, because I'm out here living my best life. So even in speaking that way, you can see how selfish and narcissistic it is.
This is a problem of our age, that we are increasingly selfish and narcissistic, even those of us who, I don't know, you know, we go to church and we do all those things, but there's something about the way, the psychology of our era that tends to be selfish and narcissistic.
Absolutely. You know, I looked up living your best life online. And there are so many websites talking about what it is and the meaning of it. And I was so struck by, I'm going to quote real quick, because it said, while used to describe almost everything, the saying, in fact, describing a lifestyle that makes you happy. And every time there's you in this little paragraph, it's all in caps or in bold, right? Best life is about you. The most important word in live your best life is your. It's just,
wow.
It's breeding a selfishness that, I mean, that's probably why it's very attractive too to so many people, because we've been growing in selfishness.
Yeah, and selfishness is not the same as a good, healthy self-love. And it's weird that the more selfish we are, actually the more lacking we can be in good, healthy self-love. You got any thoughts on why that is?
And the focus is so internal. And you really have to then, you know, you have to make an effort to listen to others and care about their feelings. Well, one, that's work. And how many times we'd rather just talk about ourselves or listen to ourselves and see how, you know, check in with yourself. We've just been so inculcated to the idea that we need to constantly pay attention to what our insides are telling us or what we need to live our best lives or healthy lives or whatever. I think we've just grown so used to it. And it's very appealing. Of course I want to be happy and live my best life. That sounds great. Let's do it. But there's consequences to that.
Right. And we actually have, how shall I put this? God become man, who explained to us how to live your best life. If you like, if you took Jesus seriously, well, that actually would be the best possible life you could live. But it doesn't look like, it doesn't have any smoothies or vacation, or it doesn't have as many smoothies and vacations. It does have smoothies and vacations, but not as many.
Right, right. There is, you have to pick up your cross, die to self every day. So you might have to put aside those outwardly signs of a great life.
Yeah.
But knowing that you're cultivating something interiorly that's much more beautiful.
Yeah. Like one of the ways we do this, I think, is with the tendency towards smaller families in this sense, that sometimes there's, and I know people face very, very serious challenges. I'm not saying this in any judgmental way, but I mean the kind of almost aesthetic preference for small families, because big families are such chaos and a mess. And we really want to, you know, have the home that looks good on TikTok or Twitter or wherever you put your pictures of your house. I don't know. But do you see what I'm saying? There's almost an aesthetic preference, as if like you're not doing life right if you're involved in the chaos of lots of kids and screaming and yelling in the house and, you know, struggling to get everybody off dressed and off to school in the morning. But that's just not a aesthetically pleasing life.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was not Catholic up until our third child was 6 months old or so. And I struggled with that myself because it was great. If we had one or two kids, we could put them on an airplane and we'd look so cute walking around, you know, being able to go on these big vacations. And the house was relatively clean compared to what it is now with four children. So I totally get that there is this kind of, it looks neater and more organized and put together when you have a smaller families, usually.
Yeah.
Not always. But
again, with the living your best life thing, I remember a thing in the New York Times years ago that just struck me and made me so sad. It was about this couple in New York who had decided to have only one child because they wanted to give that child the best of everything they could. And I'm, you know, I have, my parents gave me six brothers and sisters. And and I love four of them. And the, well, no, I love them all. But I thought when reading the article, I thought these people don't know that the best thing a mother and father can give a child is brothers and sisters, because it just doesn't look as neat as sending them to the, you know, $20,000 preschool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course there are families who really, I mean, physically or financially or emotionally or whatever,
can't have
a big family. But again, I struggled with this too. The idea that we had to cut back on the extracurriculars we were already signing our oldest up for. But then I realized when you see an older sibling relate to a younger one and the mess and the chaos and everybody has to participate and, you know, the house doesn't run if somebody doesn't do their chores, basically. It's much better. It's a better life.
Yeah, a better life as opposed to a better looking life, I guess, or a better or a more. Yeah. I'll tell you what, to make this a little more concrete, I would like to ask you, when did you first hear, who's the first person who said to you, I'm going to live my best life? And was that successful?
Yes, I do remember exactly. It was 2008 because a friend of mine had called me up and she had said that she was feeling spiritually stifled in her marriage. She had been with this guy for all through high school. They got married right out of high school. They're in their 20s now. And she said that there's the only way for me to be happy is to get a divorce. So I just need to live my best life, Christine, and I'm leaving him. And I couldn't believe it because just a few months prior, I had called her up saying almost the same thing about getting out of a long-term relationship without using that phrase because I didn't know that phrase yet. And she talked me out of it saying, you know, look, it's just a rough patch. You'll get through this. So she left her husband and her best life now includes a lot of mind-altering drugs and embracing free love and trips to Burning Man. So whereas before it was a monogamous relationship and they had their issues, you know, but they worked on them together. And it was, I really, really loved their relationship because they would fight, but they would always work through it. So it's interesting to see that she, I'm sure she still struggles and suffers. So I'm curious, I haven't talked to her lately to see how the suffering has changed and if it's worth it. I don't know.
Yeah. But that's the thing is that marriage involves a tremendous amount of suffering. And, if you think about being married 40, 50, 60, 70 years, there's going to be, that person's going to bug you. And there's going to be whole years where the two of you are like, how did I end up with you? But I think but the difference, like leaving in order to live your best life actually means giving up on something that truly humanizes you, makes you a full human being.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's if you're going to depart from a relationship or a family or, you know, a spouse for no, you know, really serious reason, say like abuse or something like that. I mean, it is a very it's a very personally focused thing. You know, the consequences of divorce are wide ranging, and usually it's not no fault. I mean, somebody doesn't want the divorce when the other person does. There is a wake of destruction with this living your best life, whether it's like strain in workplace relationships or a marriage, or straining your family with your the choices that you've made, stressing them out, or them seeing how bad it is for you. Those are problems. But if you're living your best life and that's your life philosophy, you might not care. That might just be somebody else's problem and not yours.
The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about living your best life or taking up your cross and following Jesus. Two different ideas of how to be you. And you is in all caps when I say that. If you'd like to get in on that conversation, talk with Christine Flynn, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. If you want to also, we'll talk a little bit when we come back about this conference, the Caritas Conference, Equipping Women for the War on Femininity, with the organizer and one of the speakers at the conference, Christine Flynn. 888-318-7884. Right back with your calls.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
I am a very happy, grateful revert to the faith. About 12 years ago, I was surfing the channels, and I found EWTN. I didn't even know it existed, and I heard Mother, and remembered that years ago I had told a Catholic nun at a church in Boston that I was visiting that I missed the faith, and she said, "You will come back." And when I was listening to Mother Angelica, I remembered that.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Our number is 888-318-7884. I believe in several places in the Bible, it says that the wisdom of the world is not really wisdom. As a matter of fact, often the Lord confounds the wise of the world. And the wise of the world often today tell us that the way to happiness is something that used to be called selfishness, but now is called by all kinds of names. And I our guest is Christine Flynn. Christine, there's a way in which, I think a person could hear it and think, well, you know, that means that they're saying I shouldn't take my morning walk or have my gym membership and get away from the kids for at least an hour every day and take care of myself. But that's not what we're saying. We're saying that there's a focus to life that you can, that there's you could live this way or you could live that way, and live your best life is not the best way to choose.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there is a difference. I think that the difference really is where the focus is. Is it on yourself, your self-improvement, me, or is it on God? You know, is this, how am I going to grow in the dignity of a woman or a mother or a father or husband, wife, as God intended me? Does that mean I need to take a morning walk and have some quiet time by myself? Probably, you know, and that's great. But again, what is the focus? Is it so that you can fulfill your vocation in a holy manner every single day? Or is it that you can cut and run and just do whatever makes you feel good in that moment? And I think that's the big problem, is that so much of living your best life is focusing on the fleeting feelings of happiness. And happiness and suffering cannot coexist simultaneously. You can feel long-term joy, you know, but you can't and suffer at the same time. Or so many Catholic saints have shown us that. But you can't be happy and suffer at the same time. But life is full of it, full of suffering, right? Again, daily crosses, dying to self.
Yeah, it's like when you think about a relationship, that there's two relationships could look the same, but in one of them, the two people are devoted to giving themselves fully to one another, and even when that's very painful or just unattractive, and I don't want to do that today. And the other is they're concerned with being, you know, is this relationship fulfilling to me? And actually, the less concerned is probably the more fulfilled.
Yeah. And I can say that from personal experience. That's absolutely true, because my husband and I were both atheists and very selfish people together. and for the first good chunk of our relationship. And then several years ago, we converted to Catholicism and everything changed. We had to reframe marriage. And so on the outside, besides the fact that we have more kids, our marriage looks the same. We are completely different as a couple.
888-318-7884, the number. You are welcome to call with your questions. 888-318-7884. Here's a slight difficulty I have, and then I'm coming to Teresa in Ohio. So hang on, Teresa. I just want to phrase this because a lot of women that I know will say, you know, there's a way in which women are guilted about taking care of themselves. You know, like a mother is guilted by society about she needs to get away for a weekend and, you know, every 6 months or a year or, you know, and for some moms, it might be every weekend. I just need to get away from these kids. But, you know, like she's guilted. And so what she's got to do is get up the gumption, you know, the go, I need this for myself to just go and have it. And so for some people, maybe the living your best life thing is like, they're just trying to get the energy up to fight back against the guilt. The problem is if we think wrongly about these things, like if instead of thinking, you know what, God loves me and he's helping me through all of this and I'm a human being, I'm not perfect, I need to get away. You know, I need a girl's weekend. And but instead of that, we start thinking selfish thoughts because we think that's the only way to get what we need.
Yeah, I think that is stemmed from a lack of trust, either a lack of trust with the people who are closest to us, who we feel may judge us, a lack of trust with a spouse. We don't think that they're going to support us in our needs to find that time, you know, carve out that time to make sure that we're filling our own cup, right? Putting our own oxygen mask on before we put the oxygen mask on for those around us.
Right.
Or a lack that and trust that God will help us find the energy or the solitude that we might need in order to go on. So I have a feeling that a lot of that just stems from some untrust that we might have.
888-318-7884. I said I was going to go to Teresa, but apparently Teresa just wanted me to read her comment on the air. That's okay, Teresa. I can do that. Teresa in Ohio said, it's sad to see that people are replacing children with animals. I'm just saying the comment. You have to reflect on that, Christine.
I do. Okay.
Yeah. Did you think I was going to handle this? No.
Maybe. No. I was surprised and pleased with Pope Francis's recent comments about how doing so deprives us of our humanity.
Don't say you were surprised and pleased like you have some kind of low opinion of the vicar.
No.
I'm just playing with you, Christine.
I
think a lot of us were
that
like.
That would be a topic that would come up. You know.
Right. Right.
It was great.
I know.
It's on top of mind for most people.
I thought a lot of people felt that. Like, it was kind of like, he's like the mercy pope and all that. And he's like, this is selfish. And you're like, what? Did he just say that?
It is. Wow, great.
Yeah, right. But what do you think about that? Because I thought, you know, he is right. And I don't know if that's the way to evangelize people by telling them that they're selfish, but kind of seems like it might be.
Yeah, right. I mean, there is paternal correction, and we all need it. Look, my grandmother had 10 kids, and most people my generation have a couple of abortions and a dog. So, like, there is a problem with that, and we are becoming more selfish. We're thinking so much of ourselves.
888-318-7884. Yeah, I'm sorry, I interrupted. I didn't realize you were going to continue. But what you said is striking. But, you know, what if they didn't see it themselves? You know, like, it's a 25-year-old now who's parents were divorced when they were a child and they have, you know, a sibling from each of the marriages that their parents moved on to. But their parents' parents also divorced, but they only had, do you see what I mean? Like I sometimes think they don't even see it as a possibility. They don't know that family as community and as partnership and as something beautiful exists.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm blessed in the fact that I don't know anybody in my family really who's gotten a divorce. So I come from a very stable, but you know, it's funny. They're all Catholics, or at least they were raised Catholics with those morals. My husband's family, on the other hand, Catholics too, but he's often reflected and said that if it wasn't for his grandparents having a great marriage, he probably would never have thought it was possible. So really and especially as divorce rates have increased over the past several decades, that is a problem because how else, and so many households, so many children are being born into homes with of cohabiting parents.
Yeah, right.
You know, this could be another generation or so before it comes around that maybe this wasn't the best idea.
888-3187-884 is the number. I think you might be being optimistic. Another generation or so. I mean, I don't know how we're going to relearn family in the world.
My hope is that it seems like this next generation seems more conservative minded in a lot of ways. I know you see a lot of crazy stuff on like TikTok or whatever. It makes the news.
Yeah.
And it kind of blows your mind. But they're out there, you know.
Yeah. I see that in the contraception debate, that there was for like a couple generations, it was like, oh, those crazy Catholics and their opposition to contraception. And now I see young women going, I would never put those chemicals in my body. I'm like, well, it's you know, you came at it from a different angle, but yeah, don't put those chemicals
in your
body.
You're getting
the right spot. Yeah. Let's go to Adam in Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Adam, super glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Christine Flynn.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had a lot on my mind. One, I have a friend of mine's wedding they're going to have this weekend, February 12th. And then I've had some single parents in my life that I've known. And this whole conversation kind of swings, it all kind of ties it together. But in short, would the best antidote to this hashtag that you've been mentioning be to look at the two commandments that Jesus gave, summarizing the Ten Commandments, love the Lord your God, all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself? Would that be our appropriate prescription?
It certainly takes the focus off the self what that particular person wants, and puts the focus back to where it should be. So I think that helps. And I know, Sai, you and I were talking about this a while ago, that it's not so much live your best life, but we need to reframe it as Catholics and Christians as live for your best eternal life.
I'm getting t-shirts made.
Those two commandments certainly would.
I was hoping you wouldn't say it on the air so I could just copyright it and get the t-shirts made.
No.
I'm making money on this one. Live your best eternal life, or live for your best eternal life.
Yeah.
See, that's better. What do you think about that? I mean, get the idea that the thing that the two great commandments do, as Christine was just saying, they get the focus off the self and onto other, so that I can do the thing I'm supposed to do as a human being, which is love.
Right. Yeah.
I thought our caller was going to say something, but nope.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. What do you think of Christine's answer?
Well, I know it's a whole lot easier said than done. I have to confess, it's funny because I confuse humility a lot. And like C.S. Lewis said, or Chesterton or somebody said, that humility is not thinking of yourself at all. It's like thinking of yourself less or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Putting others above yourself. And sometimes I don't even think about myself. And here I am. I'm just a wretched mess. And all of a sudden, I'm getting all irritated and everything. And nobody's happy around me.
We're all a wretched mess. I mean, that's a common problem. I mean, one of the things that, I mean, it's kind of hard to do in media, but it's hard to share just how much, you know, I'm a wretched mess, and probably Christine, maybe not. I mean, she's expecting her fifth child. She's probably not a wretched mess, but I mean, we all are. Jesus didn't say, don't be a wretched mess. He said, love the Lord and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the cure for all this wretchedness that we live with. But I remember a guy getting interviewed one time, and the interviewer said, when you face Jesus, what's the first thing you're going to say to him? And this guy said, Lord, have mercy on my wretchedness. And you know who that was that gave that interview? That was Pope Benedict XVI. So we all have to ask the Lord to have mercy on our wretchedness. I hope you don't. I mean, I wouldn't want you to be down about that, because it sounds like you know exactly what you need to do. Love God and love your neighbor. A break is coming up, Christine, so I can't go to another call. So I want you to tell us, just for a few seconds before the music starts, tell us about the Equipping Women for the War on Femininity.
Yeah, so it's an online conference, virtual, free, happening in March 18th to the 20th, caritasconference.com, and it is to help women. If you've ever looked at our culture and seen the promotion of promiscuity and contraception and abortion and kind of the undermining of womanhood and wonder and known it's wrong, this conference is going to be for you.
And can you participate online, or you got to go in person?
Online. Totally online.
Totally online.
Anywhere in the world.
Okay, yep. We'll get the address for that when we come back. We've got to take a quick break. Christine Flynn is our guest. We recently did an interview with her husband, Pat Flynn, and that'll be on Focus. I'll also tell you about that in a minute. Of the two of them, well, Darren, we'll decide at the break. Who do we prefer? Right back.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Matt Swaim here. Tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll celebrate the Feast of St. Josephine Bakhita and discuss why she's invoked as a patron against human trafficking. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Christine Flynn. Christine, thank you very much for doing the hour with us. I know you're giving a talk on this topic at the Equipping Women for the War on Femininity conference coming up. I hope you'll consider doing this program again, because it's a great pleasure to get to talk with you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Sure.
Yeah. Well, actually, I shouldn't have said we got a half hour to go. I don't know. Maybe you're going to blow it.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Look, don't blow it for the next half hour. We'll invite you back. All right. That's the deal.
All right.
So tell people how they can join online for this conference.
Yeah. So you just go to caritasconference.com, all one word, no hyphens. There is an in-person event in Baton Rouge on the February 19th. So we are doing that. However, everything there, if you're not in the southern Louisiana area, is going to be recorded and it'll go up. We'll have 9 speakers, everybody ranging from a religious sister to a grandmother to working moms, stay-at-home moms, or working women, not mothers. So we have a whole, it's only 9 people. I try to keep it reasonable for how much time busy women have to actually spend watching presentations.
Yeah.
So if you can make it, if you're in southern Louisiana, there's still a couple spots left. I just wanted to get out of the Wisconsin area in February, so we're going south.
Excellent move. Well planned.
Thank you. Thank you.
Again, the number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about this ideology of living your best life. You don't have any objection to people living a full life, a joyful life, a happy life, a meaningful life. It's just what about, to kind of reset here, what is it about living your best life that doesn't work for you?
Yeah. Well, again, everything that you just said is compatible with living a Catholic life. It's really the best life is just so much of the focus is on you. And again, what you need, you know, if you're talking about living your best life, what you need might be to leave your job unexpectedly or leave your spouse or move across country or not talk to your parents anymore. And who, you know, in that framework, who's to say you're wrong? Well, I mean, we know. With the morals that we have and our basis in the Catholic faith, that there are a lot of problems with that. So and that this focus on narcissism, focus on this self-made religion of one or whatever moral code of one is full of problems.
888-318-7884, the number 888-31-TRUTH. Up next, Caitlin in Seattle, Washington, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Caitlin, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Christine Flynn.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It's very exciting to talk to you on the air.
Well, thank you. Me or Christine? So, yeah. I just want to know who.
Both of you.
Oh, go with us.
Everybody.
Okay.
I listen every day. It's so exciting to talk to you guys.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you.
Anyway. I have some family members who are some of our cousins are getting a divorce. Sorry, if there's any sound in the background, that's my baby.
Babies? We can't have babies on this show. Come on, we have standards.
It really does ruin the
this is a Catholic program.
It's worth it. some of our relatives have recently gotten a divorce, and it's
what happened. Did we just hang up on Kay? I didn't do it. Wait, is she still there? No, she's not there. It was that baby. It was that sinking baby. I said something bad about babies. The baby crawled up, hung up the phone. Caitlin, call right back, will you? I'm so sorry about that. We were really, she was a delightful person too. I was really enjoying talking with her. Oh, well. And I know every single person on Facebook thinks that I just did this, but I did not. I had nothing to do with it. Did I, Darren, did I hang up on her? No, even Darren says I didn't hang up on her. All right, not living my best life right now. Can I go to the line one or no? All right, we're waiting for Kate. I got to wait for Caitlin to call back. 888-318-7884, the number 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking with Christine Flynn, who this fall will have a book for Catholic Answers. That's exciting. The book? What's the book about, by the way?
It's about the dangers of being spiritual but not religious. So it follows my own journey. I was raised by two former Catholics and always had those big questions. You know, what are we doing here? Who made us? Where are we going? And without a good education, religious-wise, I wound up searching for my own answers and went really off the deep end into New Age. But New Age didn't satisfy all my questions and the world's suffering and pain, and I wound up as an atheist and all the way to nihilism. So I was a really just a barrel full of monkeys to be around for a while.
You're like Friedrich Nietzsche out. There. You went the whole way,
bad.
Didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I did. Even, and you know what? I wound up being an atheist because my husband Pat was an atheist. I value his opinion. He's a very smart man. But he was never even a nihilist, but I guess my personality just took it all the way there. Yeah. And then wound up coming back out in that dark pit and became Catholic. So the book is detailing my journey through this faith journey, but also explaining why there's so many problems with being spiritual but not religious, which is a very, very quickly growing segment of the population who believes in that or would, you know, check that box on a poll.
So it's both memoir and a reflection.
Yeah, apologetic. Yeah, apologetic and memoir put together. So it's it was going through some of the darker moments in my past was a real lot of fun to write and reflect on. But all good. Hopefully Catholic Answers likes it. I just turned in the draft a couple months ago.
888-318-7884. I don't know why I'm giving out the number. All the well, no, there's one line open. But I tell you what I'd like to do, Darren, is if we could take the break a little bit early. We'll see if we can get our last caller that just hung up on us back on the line. Can we check each line and see if she's back on one of those lines? Okay. Now I'm forgetting her name. Oh, this is awful.
Caitlin.
I am a wretched mess. All right, Caitlin. Sorry about that. Right back with more with Christine Flynn on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics, every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Christine Flynn, and we're just waiting for Caitlin to call back. We know she's going to, so we're going to get Caitlin back on the line. We don't like, we're like, it's, you know, we take our phone calls seriously. We're like the Good Shepherd. We'll go in search of that one phone call that went astray, trying to get that person on the air. We're talking about living your best life. You probably have seen that. Living my best life. You know, the picture of the person in standing in the sand with the water lapping their ankles, drinking a smoothie. And is that living your best life? And is that, and if it is that an ideology worth putting your energy into? Our guest says no and no. Christine Flynn is our guest. 888-318-7884 is our number. Christine, you talk about narcissism and selfishness. We've talked a bit about a little bit about. I don't like to pick on young people too much because, man, I could not have grown up in this era and been sane. Like, it's too hard. It's really too hard. Like, I remember when I was a kid, MTV came out, and MTV was a serious challenge to male chastity in the early 1980s, and maybe to female chastity too as well. I don't know, but it's. But the stuff these guys, like MTV is mild compared to that. I don't know how they grow up and have any sanity left. But what's wonderful is you can say, like St. Paul said, well, let me show you a more excellent way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we didn't get cable TV till I was about 13. And so that was the first time I saw MTV. I was horrified. And that was, I know it's gotten worse since then, but I learned all sorts of things that, you know, otherwise I would never have known. And I can't get out of my head now. I wish I could. But yeah, I mean, there is, Acts chapter 14, it says, it is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. That isn't a life of ease. Now it's a life, it can be a life of great joy, love, happiness, and, you know, the long-term sense. But it's not an easy life. That it's going to be difficult, and mostly the difficulties arise because we have to put aside what we might want in an instant and choose a humbler path, and that's very difficult for our human natures.
Caitlin's back in Seattle. Yay! Oh, Caitlin's back. Hi, Caitlin.
Oh my goodness. I'm so, so sorry. My phone just suddenly died. This is exercise in humility.
You know what? It's weird, Caitlin, when anyway. I'm here, how many people's phones suddenly die when I'm the host. So
no,
it's
really me.
Oh, it was
I am the most irresponsible phone charger. So, yeah.
All right, Caitlin.
I always just wait to the last moment.
I do the same thing.
So my question, I always forget. So anyway, sign from God, charge your phone, everyone out there. Anyway, what I was going to ask is, in my family, there has been a recent divorce, and it's just really hard to talk to like our generational cohort about why it's even like unfortunate that two people are getting divorced, especially because everyone always says, well, you know, you don't want them to be unhappy, right? Like you don't want the child to see her parents unhappy. And how do you answer that without sounding like a total jerk, you know, and saying like, well, your happiness is irrelevant, because I mean, that's not charitable. But on the other hand, when happiness is like the core gospel and everything revolves around making you happy, divorce seems totally reasonable. So how do you effectively kind of like reintegrate this idea that happiness isn't the absolute goal of any pursuit, and make it actually reasonable to say, well, yeah, you shouldn't get a divorce. You know,
yeah.
I'm just looking for some kind of way to bridge that gap.
Yeah. Christine.
Well, I mean, for marriage specifically, the end goal, ultimate goal, isn't happiness. It's to help our spouse and ourselves get to heaven. So it's very different, because the goal isn't happiness in this life, but ultimate happiness in the next. I don't know how, like in a day-to-day conversation, how you reframe that without making everybody around you a really good Catholic is tricky. But it really, I mean, the focus of our culture so much is on a contractual relationship in a marriage and not this covenant. And I think, well, a huge thing just alone is exemplifying that as much as you can in your own life and using that as an evangelization tool. But when it comes to actually talking about it, I mean, not being shy about saying that, that happiness here, you know, is important in a sense, but it's really the most important thing is working together as a couple to try to get yourself to heaven. And you can't get yourself to heaven along with your spouse if you and your spouse are no longer talking to one another.
Yeah. That's a great answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm so glad that we got you back, because I think what you're observing is exactly what we're talking about this hour. And I'm very, very helpful. If you want to hang on, we can't give you Christine's book yet because it's not out, but I'd love to send you a copy of well, my book, A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught.
I would love your book.
What?
No, I want to help you. Yes, I want to help you make it like the bestseller on the website.
Well, you are hired. Just tell me what's going to cost, and we'll make it a bestseller together. Caitlin, thank you. Hang on. We'll send you a copy of the book. Let's go to, I'm not sure who I'm going to. Hang on. I guess let's go to Vicki in Dallas, Texas. Yeah, I'm going to Vicki in Dallas, Texas, listening on 910 AM Guadalupe Radio. Vicki, we're glad you're here. Please go ahead with your question for Christine Flynn, but you got to wait until they put Caitlin on hold because I can't hang up on her a second time. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, you are on with Christine Flynn.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
I think that a lot of times when we enter marriage, we kind of have an idea, but we really don't know what we're doing. And especially now with all the different pulls in different directions away from the church, it's more difficult to have a marriage in a family. And so for us, we were very blessed. We were in groups that were learning natural family planning. We had a community. We were homeschooling. We had the Oblates of St. Joseph, that Holy Spouses group, and also a workshop for engaged couples and married couples about natural family planning that introduced us to Casti Canuris and Humana Vitae and all the encyclicals that help understand sexuality and marriage and parenting. And so so today, is there anything for couples to, you know, engage in groups, or just to be motivated to learn more about church teaching and be more fulfilled in their married life and their family life?
I mean, I know in our archdiocese here in the Wisconsin area, we have a couple of dedicated women who teach NFP, but you have to know that to actually find them. So I think that there are there is a lot that can be done to improve the communication about NFP or other church teachings. I think from now on, I might just give every couple I know who gets married a copy of Humana Vitae and Theology of Body or something like that, just to help. But yeah, I think it depends on the archdiocese. And we do have a lot of retreat centers in our area who that put on events for young couples. But, I know that varies from place to place.
But there are more and more. I mean, there's the Couple to Couple League, and there's One More Soul, and it goes on and on. I shouldn't even have mentioned them because I'm not good at remembering all of them. But there's more and more resources of really good people doing really good work in that regard. So I think it's out there. I wonder how much receptivity there is always to it. But, for some couples, they get it. And some couples, you could probably give the best program in the world, but they're not going to get it. Vicki, call back anytime. I'm going to try to keep going because I want to get as many callers as I can on with Christine. But call again, and we'll see what kind of resources we can get to you, too, because we do have some things here at Catholic Answers. William in New York, watching on YouTube, you are up next, William. Please go ahead with your question for Christine Flynn. William?
Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you. You're very welcome. Go ahead.
I fell away from the faith probably about a year and a half ago. And one of the reasons why is I kept on encountering people from different religious perspectives that seem to be exhibiting more fruit, or at least a similar type of grace in their life. And they were outside of the faith. And I didn't really know how to make sense of that within my framework. Do you have any?
So you're Catholic and you see these other religions producing what appear to be very good fruits, and you want to know how to make sense of that. Did I get the right idea?
Yep, sure, yep.
Okay, Christine, you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, God works through all people, right? And it's not just in the Catholic faith, although we are given certain graces as Catholics as well, because we have all the sacraments to our at our disposal. But that doesn't mean that he's going to abandon everybody outside of it. I think that's my first thought on that. There might be, bearings of fruit elsewhere, outside of the faith. And maybe that'll help eventually draw people to the faith, especially if we see somebody who is Catholic living with joy and love as best they can, even if they're not at the same level as the people around them.
William, thanks very, very much. I appreciate that. I'm going to keep moving. I'm just realizing how many folks are on the line. I'm going to go to Wes in Alaska. Just so you know, that's line two. I'm going to line two. Let's go to Wes. Wes? Well, hang on. I got to push the right button. Wes, you are on the air. Go ahead with your question for Christine.
Sai and Christine, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to make a point. Sai, you made a good comment about divorce and how is the next generation going to learn when they're surrounded by so many marriages going wrong. My point is basically that you can also learn from the negative. I feel like as a kid, I was surrounded by a lot of divorce, and it makes me not want to get divorced, right?
Right. That's a very good point. Christine, what do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I know family or friends who's in a not the same vein, but say they watch their parents abuse alcohol and they know exactly what that looks like and they never want to do that. Right. So we absolutely can learn from the negatives. And I think that for a person learning from the negatives, that takes a lot of self-awareness and introspection, which is amazing and a wonderful thing. I don't know if everybody has that. It might scare a lot of people off, but at the same time, I think you have a really good point.
But William, did you find the that's I guess my second concern would be, well, one, they see the consequences of divorce, so they don't want to. But where will they find the wherewithal to be able to make it? Because it's hard to stay married.
It's definitely hard. I mean, it's I think most people, they're going to have a positive, like for me, I had a friend whose parents had a good marriage. And so I was around them enough to sort of learn a little bit from that, even though I wasn't really seeing it at home or from my aunts and uncles.
Yeah, that makes sense. That gives a sense of how a marriage is an evangelizing tool too. And that's another thing, I think, Christine, that this gospel of the self, living my best life, me, it doesn't have the evangelizing power of the person who sees that couple. Maybe they even know them well and they know they struggled, but they stuck it out and they've found that the beauty of marriage, even though it's not always the, you know, instant daily happiness of marriage, they found the beauty of it. There's something evangelical about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wes, thanks. I appreciate the call from Alaska. Can we send books to Alaska? I think we can send books to Alaska. The U.S. Postal Service goes there. I don't know if it goes there every month, but they get there sometimes, right? Wes, hang on. If you want a copy of I can't give Christine's book because it's not out yet. So you can have my book if you want it. Hang on the line, right? Did he leave already? No, he's there.
No, I'm here. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Did I put you to sleep, Wes? I'm sorry. Our number is 888-318-7884. Our guest is Christine Flynn. Christine will be doing this upcoming mostly online conference for women. And if you'd like to say again the website, just real quick, I don't want to.
Yeah. CaritasConference.com.
And then people can visit you at the Catholic Mama, too.
Yep, I'm CatholicMama.com, MAMA for Mama. I blog there, I podcast anywhere that you find a podcast, and I'm a lot of times on Instagram, same handle.
What kind of stuff will they find there?
Well, I podcast. The whole idea of the podcast that I started was to help parents raise confidently Catholic children. So I get a whole range of topics and conversations, everything from marriage to contraception to why the Catholic Church, why God. So you'll find a lot of wide range of podcasts. I just had one of my most popular ones recently was How Somebody Can Remain Catholic or Have Morals in Hollywood with a television and movie writer. So that was a fun one.
Oh, very cool. This culture of selfishness or that the Pope called out the other day when he talked about replacing children with animals. But it manifests itself, and it's also represented, of course, in this phrase that we've been talking about with you, this phrase of live your best life. It plays itself out differently in the lives of men and women. And it seems to me that men, when they live selfishly, put less and less pressure on themselves so that they become kind of the Seth Rogen, you know, guy in the living room. And then women, when they live selfishly, put more and more pressure on themselves so that they can, you know, succeed more and have more and go more. Do you notice that?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I came across a blog post geared towards women about how to live your best life. And the number two point on there sounded, it made my, made my heart beat a little bit faster because I could just feel the stress. It said, remember, life is not a destination, but a journey. Make it pleasurable. Enjoy every moment of your life.
Good Lord.
So stressful. How can I enjoy every single moment? Yeah. But and to do so, and then they had a litany of things that you needed to do to kind of audit your life and analyze it this way and that way and get this done. Make sure you are, you know, living in your dream home, working your dream job, going on your dream vacations. And wow, it's just the stress that would come along with that this is the commitment. You know, once you get started on something like that, and then the feelings of failure if you don't complete it just sound terrible.
Yeah, but that's one of the things about the good news is it is actually good news, and that people forget that. Like, we talk about suffering, but it's good news. Why? Because it's not about the stress of your success, or it's not about the stress of your, you know, I don't know, proving to the world that you're living your best life. It's about something else, and then that something else is actually very peaceful and homey and loving.
Yeah, you don't, it's not a struggle. You know, sometimes it can be to accept all, you know, the message of the gospels and everything like that. That can be a struggle, but the day in and day out don't have to be once you've come to accept the gospel truth. It's a lot easier that way.
Christine Flynn.
Or simpler, I should say.
How'd the second half hour go, Darren? Can we have her on again? Yeah. All right. You got thumbs up all across the board.
Thank
there.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. Christine Flynn, it was really awesome talking with you. I hope we will talk again. By the way, Christine is married to Pat Flynn, and we have a Focus episode coming up with Pat Flynn maybe next week or the week after. I don't know. It's coming up. It's coming up soon, though, so look for that, CatholicAnswersFocus.com. Tomorrow, 2 hours, open forum. Call and ask anything you want. Did I say that right, Darren? I'm fairly certain that's it. Once again, Christine Flynn, when's the baby come, by the way? Does the baby come before the book?
Yeah, July. I'll have 3 July babies in a week.
Right. Oh, two? You're expecting two babies?
I already have 2 July babies of kids, and now I'm going to have a third one.
Oh, that's good. Nothing like that summer baby to make everyone feel hot. All right. Thanks, Christine.